Cue the fancy intro music. I'm Lisa Robin Young, and this is Creative Freedom, empowerment for creative entrepreneurs, where can-do inspiration and how-to education collide to help you own your dreams without selling your soul. Creative Freedom helps you end the hustle, define success on your own terms, and build a profitable, sustainable business doing more of what you love and less of what you don't. I'm so excited you're here with me today. Let's get started. I'm on the road, living that digital nomad life as we pass through parts of Alabama today, getting acclimated to that 90-degree weather and the sweet tea, although I'm more of an unsweet tea gal myself. Shh, don't tell my southern friends. Now, by the end of summer, I'm actually going to be moving out of Nashville. It's an exciting new development, and I will share more about the move in a future episode. Don't worry, I won't leave you hanging. Today, though, we're exploring a topic that's crucial to any business, really, any person, really, and that's credibility. I think it is an all-important holy grail in business, and I don't say that about a lot of things, but everybody wants it. But getting it is a different story, especially when you're just starting out. For many, it is a vicious cycle. You need it to attract the right kinds of clients, but if you don't have clients, how do you get it? Now, whether you're a performing artist looking to get on a bigger stage or a thought leader trying to grow your audience, everyone who might choose to hire you wants to know that you've got the goods. The research is clear. Your reputation, your credibility in your marketplace matters. Buyers want to know they can trust you. They want to believe you are who you say you are. They want to know you're going to deliver on your promises. And they need that certainty before they're ever going to fork over their hard-earned cash. But as I record this, the Edelman Trust Barometer indicates that audiences are more skeptical than ever, saying, quote, people have shifted their trust to the relationships within their control. End quote. That means people are more frequently looking to the close ties and relationships inside their own inner circle for information and resources that they trust. Now, the closer you are to their inner circle, the more likely they are to trust you. But it takes work to get into that inner circle. So if you're not already in the inner circle, it's harder than ever to break through. So how do you prove you're credible when you're new or trying to reach a new audience or when you've got a new offer? Well, there are some obvious basics, and you've seen these covered on other people's blog posts and videos and websites, like having a clean, clear, functional website and an email address. But I'm assuming that you're smart, and you already know that fancypants1976 at sillymail.com isn't going to boost your credibility, and that you've got your own domain name for your company or your offer. Today, we're going beyond the basics, and we're going to look at what you can start doing today in order to assert your credibility and elevate yourself in your market. Number one, believe your own hype and live up to it. Now, by that, I mean be confident about what you've got going on. You don't have to be hypey or pushy to be confident. Few people will doubt your confidence because a person who's a good fit wants to believe in you. They want your offer to be the answer to their prayers. They want to stop looking around and fall in love with you. Now, a few prospective buyers might question you, but if they're a good fit, they're still looking for reasons to say yes, not reasons to say no. Boxer Muhammad Ali said he was the greatest, even when he wasn't. Few people doubted him because he lived up to his own hype. He came to the ring fearless and confident in his own abilities. And to this day, Ali is still known as the greatest, even though there are several other boxers who are more rightfully owed that title. Now, let me be clear. I'm not saying lie about your abilities. I'm saying be proud of and confident in yourself and your abilities. Because if you don't believe in you, why should anyone else? Speak clearly about your offer, what it is, who it's for, and what results can they expect. If you're an artist, you're not resolving a pain point. You're improving lives. You're a desire-based offer. So how are you doing that? What are the benefits that your buyer is going to experience? How will they feel even better? And don't forget that as an artist, you are part of that benefit. Your fans want your autograph, your fingerprint, your personal touch on their lives. That's part of why they buy from you. And I know you might think it's arrogant to think you're part of the benefit, but that's not arrogance. That's confidence. Remember, it's not bragging if it's true. When you've won an award, garnered specific praise, or gotten results for people, it's right to share that with your prospective buyer. That's part of building credibility. And keep your message in mind. Who needs to hear the message that you're sharing? For me, I'm speaking to creative entrepreneurs, people who are makers and thought leaders, intellectual property owners, and artists. I'm not talking to corporate employees or C-suite executives. The message of creative freedom is about defining and achieving success on your own terms, something not often well received at the corporate level. Make sure that you're speaking to your right audience, and don't worry so much about everybody else. Think too about your brand. We talked about this in a previous episode. What's appropriate for where your brand is right now? Performing at the office Christmas party wouldn't be on brand for Greta Van Fleet right now. Maybe when Greta was still playing in their garage a few years ago, but certainly not now. Now they're playing for Sir Elton John's parties, not office Christmas parties. They know who their audience is, and they write and perform for that crowd. Be consistent. I know I'm not telling you anything you haven't heard before. Consistency isn't very sexy, but there's nothing more sexy to your business than being consistent. Stay on message. Stay on brand. Keep doing it long enough, and you've trained people how to treat you. They know what to expect. That establishes trust and builds credibility. Don't believe me? What would you think of me if I dressed like Steve Jobs every day for a week and then started dressing like Lady Gaga and then I started wearing a hot dog costume? That lack of visual consistency would make it hard to know what I was really about. What if I talked about business strategy one day and spaghetti recipes the next? You wouldn't know what I'm about. I've steadily built a brand that says, I am here to help creative entrepreneurs build profitable, sustainable businesses doing what they love by talking about the aspects of life and business that cause creatives the most problems. I don't talk about fashion. That's not my wheelhouse. I don't talk about recipes. I mean, I can cook. I'm a damn good cook. But that's not what my business is about. My brand is about helping creatives. You don't care about my dairy-free no-bake cookie recipe. Okay, maybe a small subset of my audience would like that recipe, but that's not what I'm here to teach you. My no-bakes won't make your business better. They might make your life a little better, but that's a real stretch in my opinion. So we talk business. We talk about decision-making. We talk about defining success on your own terms. You can Google recipes some other time. So believe your own hype and live up to it in all the ways you show up. Number two, start with what you've already done. Yeah, that means collecting testimonials from people you've already worked with, but it means other things too. If you've already got great content, share it consistently. I admit, I sometimes fall down on the job with this. I've got dozens of programs and hundreds of blog posts that I could be marketing every day of the week, but I'm not. This past year, we've picked up the slack a little on that by consolidating some of my programs into our free learning library, and we're using SmarterQ to manage our social media promotions. That's been a big help, and it's keeping me more consistent in sharing the content I've already created. It's important to let people know what you're working on, what you've already done. The Secret Watch has been out for years, and there are still people who know me that don't know I've written 2 books and recorded 3 albums. That's my fault. I haven't shared my work consistently. Now, what if you don't have much already done? Well, curate other people's stuff. Don't go stealing other people's content and try and pass it off as your own. That's plagiarism. I mean, share their ideas and help promote their great work. And make sure you give credit where credit is due. If someone thinks the way you think, or you see a meme that really applies to you and your audience, share it. As people comment, you'll get a better idea of who's showing up in your world and what matters to them. And that will inform you as to how you can create your own original work to share next time. When I first started online, I would critique other people's writing and opinions in my blog posts. I'd cite their original work and add my own ideas about why I thought they were right or wrong. Now, this did 2 things. It allowed me to borrow their credibility, which we'll talk more about in a bit, and it also put me on their radar. Several times, the person I was writing about would reach out to me, which helped me start to build relationships with influencers. Not connected to influencers? Can you partner with a nonprofit and do some good through your great work? If you think working for free will help gain exposure for your work, then consider helping out your favorite charity with some pro bono assistance in exchange for a testimonial or a review. Getting the endorsement of a well-known organization, even a local chapter, can help boost your credibility. Be careful, though. Don't train them to expect free work from you all the time. Set clear boundaries around what you're donating and make sure that you get your payment, the testimonial, in return. Also, if you do any work for free, for trade, or a discount, you have to disclose that in your testimonials. It reads better when that pro bono work is for a nonprofit or charity. If you're branching into new territory, either because you're serving a new market or you're creating something new, go back to the previous work you've done and see if there's a connecting theme that applies to a new direction. Ask for feedback, reviews, and testimonials that show that connection. When I was moving away from working exclusively with direct sellers and focusing on the wider market of creative entrepreneurs, I sought out testimonials from my direct sales clients that spoke to my abilities as a coach and a leader, things that weren't direct sales specific, but still valuable to the new audience I was looking to serve. Not sure what to ask in a testimonial? You're looking for their words, their verbiage that you can then use in your copy. You're also looking for before and after transformations and ways to overcome objections of potential buyers. Here are some ideas to get you started. What problem were you facing before we started working together that led you to reach out in the first place? What concerns did you have about working together before we began? What has been the most helpful part of our work together? What was it like for you to work with me? What is the one thing you'd want someone to know about me or my work before working with me? What kinds of people do you think get the most out of working with me? If you could suggest changing one thing to make our work together even better for you, what would that be? Again, this is just a starting point. These are designed to get you thinking about ways to let the people who already know you do the talking. Let them be that third-party endorsement of your work. Remember, trust is at an all-time low, so the more you can do to move closer to their inner circle, the easier it will be for them to say yes to your offers. For this week's bonus in the Rising Tide member area, you can download a worksheet with these and other questions to help you collect valuable testimonials for your business. Which brings me to number 3, start with who already knows you or your work. People reading testimonials and reviews are looking for details about you, the offer results, and the tone of the endorsement. They want to know that you're a worthy investment of their resources. They also want to know that the offer is worth the investment, but that's secondary to knowing that you are a worthy investment of their resources. In short, they want to know they can trust what you're saying. If this is a new offer, use testimonials that speak about who you are as a person. If this is an offer related to something that already exists, use testimonials about what it's like to work with you. If this is an offer for a new audience, then use testimonials from other audiences about this work. For example, when I rolled out Overcoming Under-Earning for Creative Entrepreneurs last year, I had no testimonials about the program since it was brand new. Instead, my testimonials focused on what it was like to work with me in my other programs. My logic was that if I can get results in other programs, I'm trustworthy and reliable enough to be offering something new that is likely to get comparable results. But when we roll out our Payful Results book incubator later this year, it's a new audience for an existing offer, and so we have to do things differently. The Creative Freedom Incubator, on the other hand, is road tested. It works. It helps business owners have profit, stability, and sustainability without having to hustle all the time. And we're getting ready to apply that model specifically to helping authors get their books out into the world. Number 4. Borrow the credibility of peers and influencers. Now, this is a major win both ways. When you borrow the credibility of others you know, it helps establish your own credibility. It's called setting the positive frame. When a positive frame is set for you, People already have reason to like you and trust you before you even take the stage. Media, like podcasts or guest features, do this exceptionally well. The host has already spent time and energy working to earn the trust and respect of their audience. In many cases, years have gone into creating a show or a blog that has reliable, trustworthy content, and now you get to piggyback on that reputation. Hosting you on their podcast, their show, or other media outlet is an implied endorsement in most cases. They've essentially recommended you to their audience by having you as a guest. The host then sets the positive frame when they introduce you favorably to their audience. You hear it whenever a podcast host says, "Oh, I've known Lisa for years," or "I love the way Lisa is so results oriented." The implied shorthand here is that because the host trusts me enough to have me on their show, their audience can trust me to give them something useful and meaningful. Boom. I have just built trust via proxy in record time because I got to borrow the credibility that the host already has with their audience. That's why I'm super picky about the books I review or the guests I have on my show, because that's my reputation on the line. Now, this isn't always the case. That's why you sometimes hear disclaimers on larger shows that say, "The views of the guests do not reflect the views of the host or this show." They're downplaying any implied endorsement that may have existed with that disclaimer. In most cases, though, for creative entrepreneurs at least, if a person is asking you to be a guest in their space, it's because they like what you're up to and want their people to know more about it. Now remember, I said this is a win both ways. So let's see this from the other side. While I don't have a lot of people on my show, it's not uncommon for me to reach out to my clients or colleagues and invite them to lead a workshop for my audience about their area of expertise. I don't know everything. I really don't, I promise. And bringing on people I trust is a great way for me to help my audience without having to know everything. Now, with my clients especially, I know it will help them develop authority and build their audience while helping them practice mastering their message. Not every coach can do this, and I can't do it for all my clients. But when there's a fit, I definitely want to help bolster the success of my clients by sharing them with my audience. Most of the time, it's their first ever interview, or one of their first. So it's a safe space to practice, and since I'm a pretty decent interviewer, they end up with a recording of the experience that they can then leverage to open doors to other opportunities. Most people can't start with media placements, though. So let's look at something everyone can do. Cite your sources. Let me say it again for the people in the back. Cite your sources. Whether you're writing a testimonial about results you got with someone's program, or you're quoting a post or research you found that supports your point, or you're sharing a meme on social media, always, always, always cite your sources. This is the easiest way to gain credibility. People don't just spontaneously know stuff. You read something, you watched something, you heard something somewhere that contributed to your learning. So cite it. Tag that person on social media if it's applicable. I can't tell you how many times I've tagged a source and then had them retweet, share, or otherwise engage with my work. When they engage with you, that is powerful credibility, yo. It's also potential website traffic, business referrals, and new friendships. Several of the authors I started quoting have become colleagues and friends over the years. They didn't know me from Joe, but I read their work, I loved it, I had questions, I engaged with them. That's how Mike Michalowicz and I started out. I read one of his books, I asked him questions. Eventually, I was helping him edit his book, and I was featured in the second edition of Profit First, Chapter 4. I've been on his podcast twice, so he's helped me build my credibility, even as I've helped him spread the message of his own work. Now, just like the newbie musician who sits in on jam sessions or watches and learns from their mentors, there are already people in the world doing some aspect of what you want to be doing. Lean on them when you are just getting started and let their credibility boost yours. Developing those kinds of relationships is not only great for you, it's great for them too. Don't just quote or reference people and tag them in the hopes that they'll promote you, though. It's not a swap. That's not credible. People see through that. You're sharing your own insights and pointing back to them as your source of inspiration or learning. That's something they can get behind sharing with their own audience. And don't forget about peers who are coming up alongside you. Big name folks don't always monitor their own social media or email. You may not always hear back from them when you cite them as a reference or inspiration, but your peers are a different story. They may not have a huge audience, but they're just as sincere about growing their audience as you are. And if you know, like, and trust one another, you'll have an ally as you come up in the business world. But here's the thing. Dig your well before you're thirsty, as the saying goes. Make researching and citing your sources a habit, because that will garner you a reputation for being a trustworthy person. As your reputation grows, more people will want to lean on your reputation, and you'll be in a position to help them as much as they can help you. But you gotta start now. Don't wait until you've got some big launch or offer that needs support. Start building those relationships now, well before you need to make the ask. And yes, if you're doing your own research, you can cite yourself as the source. Who knows? Maybe other people will start citing you in their work. Number 5, major press and media outlets. There's a subtle and not so subtle way to get your name in the papers, as it were. The obvious means of media placement are to pitch yourself to various outlets as a guest for their show or to write a guest post for their platform. I'm a regular contributor to the Productive Flourishing blog, for example, and that platform gives me a chance to write about topics that attract a larger audience to my work. I also have a goal to appear on a podcast or live event at least once a month as a means of reaching new people. Platform outreach is a key part of my marketing strategy. I'm always on the lookout for new podcasts that are looking for an engaging speaker for their audience, as well as regular media placements. The key is finding an angle for your story that fits what they need at the time. Here's an example. The Awarepreneurs podcast is hosted by my friend and colleague, Paul Zelizer. When it first launched, I was super excited and thought I had something useful to contribute. Paul turned me down. I even tweaked my approach and pitched him again, and I was still denied. Okay, fine. Paul's a good guy with a clear vision for his work, so I trust it wasn't personal. And it wasn't, because a year later, he came to me and asked me to talk to his audience about my Creative Freedom Incubator, the very thing I wanted to talk to him about the year before. But the timing wasn't right. It wasn't a topic his audience had expressed much interest in at the time that I had originally offered it. But a year later, after folks in his community had multiple conversations about alternative pricing models, he reached out to me. He asked me to share my experiences with the pay for results model that I use in the incubator. But what if you don't think that you have a unique angle yet? Well, there's an underground advertising technique that could help you land some local press, depending on where you live. And then you can leverage local press into other media opportunities once you build your credibility. What's this subtle underground advertising technique? Media releases. Media releases aren't an underground technique, okay? But the potential media coverage can be free advertising for your company. So here's how it works. You've got some big news to share, an upcoming event or a local happening, maybe a ribbon cutting or whatnot. You send a short email to the local journalist that covers things like that and provide a media release that tells them when, where, and all the details. Include a couple of quotes that they can use in the write-up. And voila. Instant advertising. And again, depending on where you live, they might even come out and cover the event for a follow-up piece on their platform. So let's say you send a media release to the local paper and news station about your ribbon cutting next month. You've given them time to put your event in the current events section of the paper and maybe even plan to come out and cover the ribbon cutting for the paper and the 6 o'clock news. Now, this works great in smaller towns where the local news feed isn't huge, but it also works in larger areas when you connect with the right journalists. When I ran my candle company, the local music journalist was also required to do occasional posts for the local people section of the paper. He and I first connected about music, but because he didn't cover the local music scene, there wasn't a fit. Later, he found out I made candles out of my house, and so he did an entire feature about my candle company. Cover page and a 2-page spread. Free advertising for my business and a compelling human interest story to boot. I didn't sell a lot of records, but I sold a heap of candles. Which brings me to my final point about journalists and media outposts. Build relationships with credible journalists and media outlets, and you'll position yourself as a go-to expert and regular contributor for their future work. That, in turn, opens doors to other outlets. My client, Dr. Liz Powell, is a contributor to a variety of major media sources, including CBC Radio, Cosmo, and Glamour. Each time they get featured in one, it opens up the door to others. And if they maintain relationships with the journalists that wrote those pieces, they'll be the go-to expert for anything in their niche. Why should they spend a bunch of time hunting down other sources for articles when the journalist can just shoot an email to Dr. Liz? Now, I'll be the first to admit that some of these methods are easier than others. But all of them can work for you, and can work for you well if you're willing to do the work. So there you have it. A bunch of ways to authentically build your credibility in your niche, even if you're brand new or just getting started in your industry. Pick one. Add it to your marketing arsenal. If you're already doing one or more of these regularly, great, let me know about it. Share your results with our audience. Be part of our rising tide. Speaking of which, the resources for this week's show are already live in the Rising Tide member area. I hope you're taking advantage of everything that we have to offer at Creative Freedom HQ. Check out the Rising Tide link on my website to get free access to all the goodies today. If you like this episode, help us make a bigger impact in the world. Support our Patreon campaign, subscribe for updates, or share us around with your friends and colleagues. Your help makes a difference, more than you could ever know. We are one of the fastest growing shows for creative entrepreneurs because of you. So thank you. Next time, we're going to talk about what it really takes to build a loyal following for your great work. I hope you'll join me. And until then, for more inspiration and education to help you end the hustle and own your dreams without selling your soul, come see what's shaking over at lisarobinyoung.com. You know you want to.